Just be ready. All right? There is a vast difference between a male and a man. Seriously. There is a vast difference between being a male and a man. In fact, there's three hoods of men and masculinity. There's the babyhood, there's the childhood, and then there's the manhood. What we teach the baby is just ensure that his plumbing's in the right place and teach him the right ways of things that he's going to grow into as a man. Amen. But usually it's those years that you teach them who they are and what they are and prepare them to understand that as a man, not a male, but as a man, there are some responsibilities. And a lot of males don't want the responsibility. Can I just be a little bit raw this morning, a bit honest? They don't mind using their plumbing, but they don't want the responsibility of what they're using it for. Well, God does require that. If you need to be a man, the first thing you require of you is responsibility. Amen? For every one of us are a product of our decisions. Yeah? This morning I'm going to speak on quickly, because I know I haven't got much time, as usual. Kingdom men. You know, God's looking for a man. Who believes that this morning? God is looking for a man. He's got many males, but he's actually looking for a man. And you know, God couldn't find a man when he needed a man. He couldn't find them at all. And when there's a lack of a man, there's usually chaos. I'm talking about a man, not a male, a man. Amen? And I believe in our culture today, who believes that our culture is changing quite significantly, differently, and above all, quickly? But there is a cry in our culture for kingdom men. In fact, our culture is lacking kingdom men more than ever before. I was just sharing before I came up this morning, I was reading some articles and statistics from the Victorian government and the Australian Bureau of Statistics about the cost of the lack of men in our community. In 2018, when the census was done in the prison system of Australia, there was approximately 43,266 men, people in prison. 92% of them will be male, 8% women. It costs the community $342 per day per person to keep them incarcerated. That is 2018 figures. You can add on to that for the years. I haven't got that. But the bill for 43,266 people in prison is $5.5 billion a year. $5.5 billion taxpayers' money being used. That's inclusive of the lack of what's happening in their households, their children, their wives, etc., etc. $5.5 billion for 43,000 people. And the statistic of the men, 60 to 70% of their men are fatherless. And 44% of them will reoffend. That's how important our culture needs kingdom men. There is a huge cost to society. There's a huge cost, not just to society, but to children. There's a huge cost, not just to children, but women, Christian women, that are hoping to one day marry a Christian man. She doesn't need a male. She certainly doesn't need a babe. And she can do without another child. She needs a man. I remember my daughter. Is this okay? Can we talk like this? I remember my daughter was in England teaching, and she's probably there. Hello, darling. Nice to see you. And she was teaching at school, And she was going to this massive church and hoping to meet a man. And she said to me, she rings me up. She goes, "Dad," she goes, "I'm tired of this. All I'm meeting is these young people dressed in a particular way with a particular hairstyle." She goes, "All I want is a man. All I want to meet is a man. I don't need a metro, hetero, I need a man." And when you look at the church with 60 65% of the church population is women. It's women. They don't need just any man. They're looking for a godly man. Amen? Can I hear an amen? It's very quiet in this Pentecostal church. They want a man. Amen? A man that will be responsible. A man that will take up the call of God. A man that will seek God for his family. A man that will nurture his children and raise his children. And contrary to society's ways of doing things, it's actually the man's responsibility to raise up the children. It says fathers. It talks about the fathers raising the children throughout the Bible. Don't get me wrong, women do a fantastic job. In some households are only women. But I believe we're coming into an age where the men of God have to rise up. The babes, the children have to become men. Who agrees with me? We have to become men. There's a cry in our culture that needs the influence of kingdom men. It's an inherent cry of the children. It's a cry of a godly woman who wants to be led by a kingdom man or marry a kingdom man. And it's a cry of God himself who's on the hunt for a godly man. Not just for males, but kingdom-led, kingdom-hearing, kingdom-fearing, kingdom-serving men. Amen. You can come to church, doesn't make you a kingdom man. It's a good start, don't get me wrong. It's a good start. You're in the right place. But it doesn't make you a kingdom man. Because you can come to church and still be a man or a male, but still have your own agenda. See, a kingdom man is subject to the king of the kingdom. A kingdom man is subject to the king of the kingdom. Are you with me? But if I only work out of my own agenda, I'm not submitted to the king of the kingdom. All I am in the house is a male. I need to have a change of mindset to become the man that he wants me to be. And here's a key. He only wants the best for you. So when he impresses his finger on an area of your life and that might cause pain or it might cause a bruising or it might cause a chastening in your spirit, he is only doing it for the benefit of you. He doesn't chasten me for the pleasure of chastening me. He chastens me because he loves me. Are you with me? So we have this God that is looking for a man, I believe in this hour like never before, looking for a man that will stand in the midst of the gap. A man that will come and confer with his God and talk to his God about situations, needing his wisdom and needing the counsel of his spirit and getting the mindset of God in situations and moving when God says to move and doing when God says to do. Being controlled by the things of the Spirit, because there's other voices that will continually want your attention and my attention. And life will always want to keep you busy. Anyone experience that? And more so, our younger men today, more than ever before, my son has experienced things I've never experienced. I wouldn't have to work 10 or 11 or 12 hours a day. They wouldn't employ me for that long because they would have to pay me double time and triple time. After 4:15, if you want me to work an extra hour, it's going to cost you an hour and a half. After two of those hours, it's going to cost you double time. They didn't like to do that too much. So they didn't do that. But nowadays, you're no longer on wages as much. You're on salaries. So they can just tell you how long you should work, and you're going to get paid the same. That wasn't a big thing in my day. That was for bosses. That was for the hierarchy. He never used to do that anyway. They used to always leave early. But it's a different world. And the world is impressing itself upon young men, especially of the church, and trying to rob them from fulfilling to being kingdom men. Amen. Isaiah 3 and 12. Isaiah 3:12 says this. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women are rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the ways of your paths. There's children, there's women. What's missing? Men. And while there's a man missing, there will be cultural chaos. One of the greatest dilemmas in our society today is the lack of the father. And it's no use. I don't want to press some people's buttons this morning, but I need to say this. It's no use us expecting to pray change in Parliament House if I won't see change in my own house. It starts in my house. My Christian walk starts in my house. Amen. My house needs to see a God-fearing kingdom man. My children need to see a God-fearing kingdom man. My wife needs to be led by a God-fearing kingdom man. Amen. Are you with me? Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, I sought a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the what? What do men do? They stand in the gap. Stand in the gap before me and for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God sought a man. Notice he didn't say I sought a male. He sought a man. A man that would take up the cause and knew the cause of God. Men like David, men like Abraham, men like Isaac, and men like Jacob, men like David Bruce, men like Robbie Green. Now you keep looking backwards, they're gone. They're dead. Men of God that seek the Lord, that know the mindset of God. God's looking for a man in this hour more than ever before. And without the instruction, without the man standing in the gap, knowing the mindset of God. And if you want an example of that, look at Moses. Just look at Moses. When God wanted to wipe out the nation of Israel, Moses stood in there. He reminded God of what he had said. He stood in the gap. He could stand in the gap because he had relationship with the Lord. He could stand in the gap because he had heard the voice of God. Was he ever chastened by God? You better believe it. Did it stop him going to the mountain of God? No, it didn't. Because a man takes it on his shoulders, what God is saying about it, even the things that aren't correct about him, and keeps carrying that weight until there's breakthrough in his own life, and still gets before God. Amen? My daughter-in-law preached last week a fantastic message. And it's about Daniel. I just want to add to a little bit what you were saying. God never spoke to Daniel till Daniel made a stand. That verse 8. God never even spoke to Daniel until Daniel made a stand and purposed in his heart to not eat of the king's food and delicacies. It says, and then God said. But there was a stand first. See, God needs to see a move of faith before he'll back you up. He wants you to step out of your boat and your comfort before he can help you walk upon the waters. But it's no use to say, Jesus, help me to walk on the waters while I'm stuck in a boat. He wants to see a move of faith on your behalf so you can, he purposed in his heart. Amen. There was something locked inside of him that refused to allow him to eat of the delicacies of the king, even at the expense of a life. Are you with me? Acts 11, it says, Silas, Silas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, they went to Iconium, I think it was, and it says, he saw that the people purposed in their heart to serve the Lord. See, purpose can actually be seen. It can be demonstrated and saw. When people see that you purpose in your heart to follow him wholeheartedly, something changes in a man of the kingdom. What changes is his vocabulary. He's scared to see what comes. He wants to make sure what comes out of his mouth aligns up to the things of God. Book of Proverbs says this, a wise man speaks few words, but the words he speaks are like pearls of silver. They're weighty, they're valuable, and people want it. But a fool is known by his many words. Amen? Are you with me? I've got to wrap this up. Don't know where to go. Jeremiah 5:1 says, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, see now and know and seek in her open places. If you find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. He would have pardoned a whole city if he found a man. When Abraham sought the Lord about Sodom, remember that? He said, Lord, if I find just 10, he says, I'll let the city go. They'll be fine. In other words, Abraham negotiated with God from 100 to 50 to 20 to 10. God says, if you can find 10, I'll save the city. Do you know, I really believe with all my heart, if the church had kingdom men, it would save our city. It would certainly save the next generation. Because the next generation is only a product of this generation. Are you with me? Malachi 4 and 6. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. God is a God of restoration. But kingdom men are not just restorers. Kingdom men are also imparters. Are you with me? There is a difference between being a male and being a man. There is a difference between being a male and being a man. I want to read this from the Carl Delitzsch commentary. A lot of us, when we preach this, speak about the love of the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father. It is so much deeper than that. It is a lot more deeper than that. In fact, when you read the scripture, it says, he shall restore. It's a small h. It is actually not God. Because the verse above, he says, I will send Elijah before that day. And it's talking about an Elijah anointing, Elijah people that will restore the hearts of the fathers. And when he's talking about it, he was talking about the patriarchal fathers of old. I'll restore. So they were righteous men, right? That had wayward children. And so he says, I'll restore the hearts of the fathers. And what he's literally saying is turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons does not mean merely directing the love of the fathers to the son once more, but it's also restoring the hearts of the fathers in the sons, or giving the sons the father's disposition and affection. In other words, your passion for Jesus will infect your child. It will infect them. They will want the heart of the Father, because the Spirit of God, if you're a kingdom man, I want to prophesy this to you this morning. If you're a kingdom man this morning, your children will gravitate to your heart because it will be a work of the Spirit of God. Elijah was bringing about the restoration in that day and hour, and he was prophesying to the children to get back to the roots of the fathers. Amen? And I think sometimes we as the body of Christ have thrown out the baby with the bathwater with the things of old. That's old school. That's old. That's old. And hear me, some things are so foundational, you cannot cut them, chuck them out. There are some ancient paths that we still need to walk. Restoration, reconciliation, repentance, deliverance. These are all part of the kingdom of God. Amen. So he says, then the heart of the sons will also return to their fathers, turn itself towards them, so they will be like-minded with their kingdom fathers. Hallelujah. See the weight and the emphasis God has placed on kingdom men. And I hear some men say things like, I just can't do it. Well, that's a lie. I want to say, and if that's going through your head right now, that's an absolute lie, because you wouldn't have been built as a man if you couldn't. Does God make mistakes? Can you name one mistake? No. Therefore, if he designed you as a man, you can do it. I remember this one man coming to me and says, I just don't feel led. I went, really? He says, yeah. Well, at COC, I used to have this little lead block. You know, from a fishing tackle? He says, here, feel that. And that's lead. Feel as much as you want. Rub it as much as you want. That's a piece of lead. Now you be lead. It's a lie. What they're balking at is the responsibility of having to seek God for themselves. See, it's so easy to say a babe. Feed me, give me, change me, clothe me, put me to bed. And when I get up, change me, clothe me, feed me. And if you won't feed me, I'll switch the channel to see someone who will change me instead of seeking God for your own word. And this is where there's a dilemma, specifically in the male factor, where they lack the reading of the word of God. So they lean upon the woman, if they're married. Well, you do it this tonight with the kids, or you do it this time with the grandkids, or yeah, oh, don't worry about it. They'll be all right. We'll just pray for them later. That is not the responsibility of a kid. That a kingdom man does not do that. A kingdom man takes pleasure in the giving of the gift that God has given them to pray. Amen? Are you with me? Is this okay? You're still breathing, men? Good. God never said you couldn't find a male. What with a kingdom man, God will place a hunger in the children to want what was captured in the hearts of the fathers. I believe that. I don't care if the kids wander. Couldn't give a hoot. There is something deposited in them through the men of God that they've been around. And if the true man of the kingdom is still a man of the kingdom, he will keep on loving them. Doesn't matter what they're doing. He will keep accepting them. Doesn't matter what they're doing. He'll have boundaries, of course. But he will keep loving them. He will keep accepting them. And he will keep speaking the truth. And the household doesn't deviate from the purposes of God in the house at all. In other words, they have to adapt. And then one day, all of a sudden, a word comes forth. Because his word does not return. Hallelujah. And then one day, there's a quickening of the word. You will be, most of the time, the parent will probably be surprised by the quickening. Because God does a suddenly. He can change a man suddenly. And all of a sudden, there's a hunger in their belly. And all of a sudden, they're the truths that have been foundationally put into him from a child start coming out of him. And out of his belly shall flow a river of living waters. Then the conviction of the Spirit starts coming. And guess what? There's a transformation by the washing of the water of the Word of God. And all of a sudden, they've met Jesus. They've met Jesus. They've understood the Jesus you've been talking about all them years. They've met Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's the prophecy, that he'll restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. There's an impartation through a kingdom man. Who wants that for their house? Hallelujah. Who wants that for their kids? You've got to understand that God is a generational God. I've got to wrap up. You've got to understand God is a generational God. What he has spoken to you, he will complete for you. Amen. Go to slide 3 quickly. I've got too many slides. Genesis chapter 1, you'll read. Let's look at the first man. Genesis chapter 1, you'll read that when God created things, he was Elohim. It says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Remember that? And God said, in creation, he is Elohim. The word Elohim literally means power. That's what it means, power. But in chapter 2, when he's talking about the man, he's no longer God said. He is now the Lord God. And so through the midst of it all, you will find that written in chapter 2 alone at least 10 times, the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God. Because when he's in relationship with man, he becomes Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh literally means the God who reveals himself and directs a people. He becomes Yahweh, all-powerful, still all-powerful, but now he's in relationship. Now he's become the God of relationship, and he directs. He reveals himself. Hello, Moses, who do you say that I am? I am that I am. That was Elohim. That was Yahweh, Elohim. He was revealing himself, and God wants to reveal himself to the kingdom men. Amen? He wants to reveal himself and get involved in your affairs. Amen? He wants to direct your paths, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If I'm not a kingdom man, I take my own authority and direct my own steps. Therefore, no longer a kingdom man, I'm just a male. Are you with me? Am I going too fast? Thanks, love. Yahweh means God reveals himself, or the self-revealing God who governs, directs, and instructs. So God goes from all-powerful God, Elohim, in creation, to Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, in relationship to man, who wants to relate to you and me and oversee and govern my affairs. Next one. So when we talk about a kingdom man, we're not just talking about someone who believes in God. A kingdom man is more than just believing in God. A kingdom man is a man who believes in God, and God who he believes in is also his Lord. He's also now his Lord. Not just a believer. Am I getting too deep? There are three types of people in the Bible that you will always read about. There's the believer, there's the follower, and then there's the disciple. Three levels of relationship. Are you with me? To be a disciple, I've got to be a believer and a follower. He is the Lord God, the God who governs, directs the affairs of my life. A man is not a kingdom man unless the king of the kingdom is directing what he has to do, and the man then acts on the direction of the king. In other words, if you want to be a kingdom man, I've got to come under the lordship of a king. Yeah? For the kingdom of God. Remember, there's a kingdom called the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. But a kingdom has to have a king. So God has lots of males that believe but don't come under the direction of his authority, and they run their affairs independent of God. Last one. One of the key scriptures, I won't go through all this. In Exodus 34, 25 and 26, you will see three names of God. Three times in the year, all your men, all your males shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. There was a commandment of God that three feasts were going to occur. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. All men were called to them feasts, not the women, the men. When all their men came to that feast, that means the soldiers were no longer soldiering, the bakers were no longer baking, the husbands were no longer in the house because they were worshipping God, and it was a faith step for men. Amen? It was a faith step for men. It says, three times all your males shall appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Amen? For I will cast out the nations before you, enlarge your borders, neither any man covet your land. And when you go up to appear before the Lord, your God, three times in the year. So three times every year, every male stops what they're doing. Footnote, hint, key for to be a kingdom man. Take time to be in his presence. Take time to be in his presence. They had to stop what they were doing. Them three words, Lord, God, Lord, Lord, the Lord, God of Israel, First one is Adonai, which means master, absolute ruler and governor. He's the master of my life. This is for a kingdom man. This is choice. God, Elohim, is all-powerful. Lord Yahweh, self-revealing, and who governs and directs. If I stop and meet and come for fellowship with them, this is what he promises me. I will cast out nations before you and enlarge your borders. Increase. Protection. The battle is mine, says the Lord. I will enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land. You're in a safe place, and God protects you and protects what belongs to you. Amen. All this because you stopped and started to worship God. And whenever you go to appear before the Lord your God three times a year, so your God has got your back even when you're not there. So when you're away or you're at work or something, your house is covered. Your family is covered. Your stuff is covered. Because you first took a step of faith and said, God, I'm prepared to stop. And it's hard for men to stop. In the midst of when they're doing something, I hate it when my wife comes out and I'm in the middle of bricklaying, tiling, or doing something. She goes, you want to come in for tea? I hate it. Just let me finish. I'd rather be out there all night finishing something. Don't stop me. But then my head says, it's all right. It's going to be there tomorrow. Go and see your wife and your kids. Come on now. Sometimes it's hard for us men to stop. Anyone ever had that? Am I the only weird one? It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to stop. Sometimes it's hard because I've got to bring perspective into life. If I stop and trust and appear before him, verse 24 says, he'll overcome my enemies. It is this heart that the father of the fathers he wants to restore to the sons. Lord, you've told me to stop. I'm seeking you first. Lord, I'm not putting this TV before your presence. Lord, I haven't read today. I need to turn that off. I need to seek your face. I need to stop. The hearts of the fathers as a kingdom men arise. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says this, though you might have many 10,000 instructors in Christ, that there's not many what? That's it. Men of God. Men of God. Not many fathers. Thousands of instructors, but not many fathers. And the first person I must be a father to is my own. No use trying to come to this church and change church if you're not doing it in your own house. The church is only as strong as the family. Do you know that? A church is only as strong, the body of Christ is only as strong as family. You need to be a kingdom man in your home. And you mightn't get the accolades, and you mightn't get a pat on the back, and you mightn't hear things that you think you deserve. But I'm going to tell you something. It's recorded in heaven, and your reward is with him. Amen. And the day comes when your children walk out that door saying, bye, Dad, I'm going to marry this one. Mom, I've just met this girl. Mom, I've just met this bloke. And when your daughter, you know, that's one of the things with my daughter. I always said, Lord, I want a strong man. My daughter had this man come up to her when she was 21. And said, I believe God's told me to marry you. She goes, really? He says, yes. She goes, what do you think about that? He says, what do you think about that? She goes, wrong God. God of lust. Well, how do you know that? He would have told me first. She knew the voice of God. Come on now, she knew the voice of God. And she married late. But she got the right man. Amen. And here's another comforting thing for dads. God will restore the what? The years. Come on now. The years. The cankerworm, the palmworm, the grasshopper, the locust has eaten. He can restore you in a moment. And man, if you're not where you should be, there's a thing called the cross. And all you have to do is get to the cross. Say, Lord, change me. Not change them. Not help me with them. The ones that are running riot. I remember saying to my wife, can't you get the kids under control? She goes, well, they're yours too. Shake, shake, shake my head. You're right, you're right. And the reason that they were out of control, because I was not in order. Me. He's looking at her. Me. Amen. Should we stand this morning? Can you give me the scripture? Give me the scripture, the blessing. Hallelujah. I just want to chuck it out there, gentlemen. Are you ready for the challenge? Are you ready for the challenge? You don't need to be kids to be a kingdom man. You don't even have to be married to be a kingdom man. Because a kingdom man's an influencer. Are you ready for the challenge for the next phase? I believe that God is stirring up in the church of God to raise a mighty army. Amen. Of men. Forerunners for Jesus, with a word in their mouth, raising up a generation behind them that you leave a legacy. What is my legacy? Is it measured in dollars and cents? Or is it measured in your virtue and your righteousness? Hallelujah. Where is it? Six. Thanks. I want to speak this over the men. The words of 6:22. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before the eyes of the great... Is that the one?
6:22.
Okay. That's not there, love. Who's ready for the challenge? Well, men, I just want to throw it out. If you're ready, you raise your hands before the Lord. There is always a cost. There's always a cost, men. But you will be part of that army that will see victory. You will be part of that army that will bring influence into young men and women. This is the hour, more than ever before, to be a man of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. With your hands raised, I'm going to speak this. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Your God is ready to bless you. He's ready to make his face shine upon you and keep you. Father, I release that blessing, that priestly blessing in Jesus' name over your men in this house. That, Lord, every household will have a kingdom man. A kingdom man. Lord, ready to do thy will. That we would be influencers in our society, in our community, to change the culture of the world as we know it today. That we would see the kingdom of God come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This is our commitment to you, Jesus. Help us and grace us for the battles ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your patience. I know I went on a bit long, but we did finish on normal time. Is that all right? I just really felt I needed to do this for the men. Because we're in a warfare. You're in a spiritual warfare for your home. You don't fight flesh and blood. No use ranting about stuff that you cannot change. The only change you can make is a change in prayer in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you, fathers. Have a great, wonderful rest of Father's Day. And please don't forget our fellowship night. That would be a wonderful night just to commune together and be with each other. And we need to stack the chairs, gentlemen. Isn't it great to be a servant of the house of God? Hey, has been born to be the stronger vessel. Hallelujah, to carry the extra weight. Amen. God bless in Jesus' name.